This is the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast.
What can we do to take the nightly rate from like 500 a night to 1,000 a night? That's what we're trying to do with this property.
You're listening to the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast, where we discuss tangible tips, tricks, and best practices for becoming financially free. The show is designed for people who want to either start real estate investing or for those who want to scale their real estate business.
What's up, guys? This is Jonathan Farber, host of the Millennial Millionaire Through Real Estate podcast. This show is all about achieving financial freedom as fast as possible so you can do whatever makes you happy in life. For me, that vehicle was real estate, and it's how I achieved financial freedom at 27. If you want to know how I got started, my journey is presented in a YouTube video posted in the show notes, and I post daily in our private Facebook group about my favorite topics and day-to-day strategies. I appreciate you guys being here, and let's get started. Oh, by the way, reach out if you ever need help. I try to keep my calendar open to talk to anyone that needs it or has any quick questions. See you guys. Talk to you later. What's going on, guys? Today we have an awesome, I would say special episode with Michael Elefante. Some of you guys may know him from TikTok. Some of you guys may know him from YouTube. But before any of that happened, and regarding Airbnb, he's become one of the biggest, I would say, content creators and influencers on social media regarding Airbnb. But before all that, me and Mike were just two tech bros, two tech friends that worked in corporate America, didn't like our jobs, and talked to each other and like talked about escaping this world of a job we didn't like. And for both of us, we were looking at short-term rentals. We actually got connected through our other friend, shout out Mike Riley, still one of my best friends to this day, connected us. So the two Mikes and myself, and we basically just started collaborating and talking about 13 months ago about different ways to create content, different ways to add more properties. And it's just funny that, you know, we've been in touch throughout the journey and his brand really took off and blew up. And we talk about it on the show, actually, of 13 months ago, I organized this accountability group. It was me, him, Ryan Daigle, and one other person. I'm not sure she'd want to be called out, but basically, we just said we were going to make a TikTok a day for 30 days or content a day for 30 days. And that's kind of how we originally came together and started talking more and creating content. Mike stuck with it. He was way more consistent than me at the beginning, and his brand has blown up for that reason. We'll post all his stuff in the show notes, but I think he's near like 700,000 on TikTok. But just a really cool story of how in a short period of time, you can become financially free and financially abundant from just a small handful of properties. If you find them right, if you analyze them right, if you like set them up right and then manage them right, it doesn't take much. And that's really the message in Mike's story. Again, just a lot of similarities between the two of us. When he hit financial freedom, he just traveled for 6 months in a camper van. His thing with his wife, Jill, who's also amazing, he's hitting national parks and they were just cranking out the national parks, driving around the country and seeing that. Now they're settled in Fort Lauderdale, buying more property there. They just closed on a 4-bedroom house that they're standing up. It's beautiful. You definitely want to check it out. And we just kind of dug into like the day-to-day of building a business, building a brand, building an Airbnb, the lifestyle of it. We talked a little bit about time management. I was curious about how he's managing his day and his time. And then the last thing that we talked about in the show was how you can monetize as a content creator. Mike's done a great job of partnering with companies to make money by doing paid posts, affiliate marketing, driving traffic to their site, and really just helping them grow their business and being compensated for it. So there's a lot of different ways you can make money with social media and content creation, but not a lot of people talk about it. So we dug into that a little bit on the show as well. The main learning I had from this episode was something we kind of talked through a little bit of like how to get over the hump as a beginner and how to become more empowered to take action. And the thing that I think about with this all the time is you can always go back to your job. You can always go back to the situation you were in, most likely with very little effort. There might be a little bit of embarrassment, you know, to say, oh, I went out and tried something and it failed. But you know what? At the end of the day, most people would probably respect it. And you're not hurting yourself too badly. It's kind of like that versus then staying in something you don't like for a really long time. And that risk, the risk of a life of not joy, maybe average, however you want to think about it. But like, if you really break it down and do the Tim Ferriss exercise, fear setting, you'll think about that. You can probably at worst case, go back to what you were doing or get out of what you're doing. So just kind of an interesting thing to think about. And then the last thing is the tangible tip. I, like Mike, was not good at design when I first started this. And he self-proclaims that he was really not good at design, but now he uses Pinterest like religiously and scrolls on it, maybe as much as any other social media, to find ideas for his properties. And if anyone out there is considering getting started with Airbnb, get active on Pinterest, search different like designs and motifs and vibes that you want to consider for a property and get ideas. And then now you can buy stuff. So get active on Pinterest, get ideas, create some boards, save some pictures, save some looks, and then you can use them whenever you want. So ultimately, if you're not good at design and you don't want to hire someone, you can learn fairly quickly. And Pinterest is an amazing way to do that. So that's today's tangible tip. Without any further ado, awesome, awesome episode with Michael Elefante. Enjoy. Michael Elefante, what's good, bro? Welcome back to the show. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm so good. We got so much to catch up on. Thanks for having me back.
You know, selfishly, that's why I do love having the podcast. There's a lot of days where I'm like, I don't know the person, but it's the best excuse to catch up with people that like, you know, too much time has passed. So you've had a lot of stuff going on, man. People can go back and maybe deep dive the full origin story of how you got into this. But I feel like even between that episode and this episode, so much has passed. So if you wouldn't mind, could you give like a quick overview of who you are and then maybe kind of another overview of kind of what's happened maybe in the last, 8 or 9 months since we connected on the podcast?
For sure. Yeah. A little background on me. Grew up in North Carolina, went to Elon University, played college baseball after school, didn't know what the heck to do. So jumped into tech sales, similar to you, John, and quickly found out how much I hated it. Cold calling every day. So within the first, 3 months, and I were bottom of the food chain, like barely making any money. I was like, I just need to make as much money as possible and that'll make me happier. And then, you work up a food chain and you realize how unhappy you are if you're doing something you don't thoroughly enjoy every day. So the money got better, but the time also got more constraints around it. So then stumbled across a bunch of YouTube and books about real estate, and was ready to do like small multifamily, like a lot of people are, and then moved to Nashville after living in Dallas and Austin for a while and learned about Airbnb. And I was like, if these numbers are real, I'm all in, but they can't be real. So anyways, got our first one back. Actually, we launched it on Airbnb 2 years ago from yesterday. My wife told me, which is kind of cool. And saw the bookings come in and we're like, wow, this is crazy. So we were gung ho. So anyways, fast forward to now, we have 4 properties that have been operational for a while. And now we're standing up our 5th, and the 4, and one of them, we actually split with another investor 50-50. So after even their cut of the cash flow, we've been averaging like 30 to 35 grand a month in cash flow on just those 4. So it's just like mind blowing. I still can't believe it's real, but I think we just developed a passion for it and a unique strategy around it. And honestly, as soon as we had that first one, we're like, this is it. We're not looking back. But since we last spoke, I know it was probably right after you and I, you've been doing the podcast for a while, Facebook group and a lot of other awesome stuff that I had been following. And I hadn't really been on TikTok. So you and I and a couple other people did a TikTok accountability group, right? Remember, it was 13 months ago, November.
I remember vividly.
Yeah, we posted once a day. And I wasn't really sure about that. I was kind of trying to funnel people to YouTube because that's ultimately where I thought I was going to have the most value to provide. And like, maybe I can make money on YouTube. I don't know. But ultimately, a couple of videos, I had a bunch of views, somewhat viral, at least to me at the time. And I was like, wow, this is powerful, like with TikTok. So since then, just went gung-ho on TikTok and slowly expanded my reach on other platforms. But as you know, there's just the possibilities are endless with social media. And that developed an education side of a business that I created to help others around learning how to do real estate, do Airbnb, self-manage their properties and all that fun stuff, and a mentorship business. And it's just like a whirlwind of things that happened in the past 9 months. It's just like slowly compounded over time. And then it just took off, and it's just so cool to look back and see. But yeah, man, I'm so excited to be back on the show and chat with you about it, because I know you got a lot going on too. And it's just, you know how it is, man. It's just wild how things can snowball.
Dude, it is. And it's so funny. You know what I think about a lot with this? And I actually, I don't think about it that much, but like other people have helped me kind of realize how much can change in what feels in the moment, maybe like not that much is happening and it's a long time, but like how much can change in a year or 2 years? Like if you think about 13 months ago, and for those that don't know, like it's just hilarious. Like Mike and I were friends through our other friend, Mike, maybe like we first got connected maybe like 18 months ago. And like, we were kind of very similar situations, you know, still are very similar situations. And then like social media kind of happened and Mike, I think what you're close to 700,000 now on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And like we did that pod and it's just so funny now, like what can happen with social media and like time, because you know, that wasn't that long ago, but so much has changed, you know, and now so many new opportunities have come from that. So like, it's just funny to think like, okay, some things you need, you know, 10-year patience for, but like not that many things need more than like a year of consistent dedication to really like blow up and change. I guess one question for you, like, I don't know if I've ever asked you this on the TikTok stuff, is like, did you have like goals with it? Because I never had any goals with it. But then like, once it started taking off, I was like, all right, this is the opportunity, like pour more into it. But like some people I know have very specific goals with it. So I'm just like curious, and we'll dig back into like the real estate stuff a little bit more, but like for content, like how did that kind of start developing, you know, more and more for you?
So like when we started that group, that my only goal was, because I was pushing YouTube for a year, like almost a year at that point. And but in a very slow growth, YouTube is really competitive. And I was just, my video editing skills there weren't that great. And thought my content was decent. It's very niche. Most of it was around Airbnb. So my goal was just to funnel people to YouTube. YouTube was in my bio link, which worked. I got, you know, a decent amount of subscribers on YouTube from TikTok. But then I had no idea. My intention was not to post on TikTok and like be a platform that I leverage the most. But once I saw the power of it and the algorithm pumping it out to people who, basically, I treat every video like it's a new audience as best I can, you know, unless it's a response to a question. But once I saw the growth there, and then I started networking with a bunch of really awesome people who also had crazy growth and maybe had no prior background on social media, real estate, not real estate. I was like, oh, this is really cool. I learned what they're doing with affiliate marketing. And I'm like, this stuff is all possible for me. I was like, this is crazy, you know? So, and I was like, I could promote companies or products or solutions that I either already use or I'm learning about and I want to use, and I can get paid to promote those products that I love. And I'm like, this is so cool. And it's just like a different world. So then since I saw that growth, it was like gung-ho on TikTok, and I still have focus on the other platforms, but just not as much, just because I've realized that this is like the one spot for me that I think makes the most sense right now.
Yeah, totally. I mean, right now, I'm curious for you, like what gets you the most excited about all the things you're doing? You're doing a lot of stuff. We were talking about like brand deals and promo deals for content. And then you have the education business. You're standing up a new property right now. You're in Fort Lauderdale. We'll talk about that too more. But like, you know, what actually gets you the most excited right now about what you're doing?
So I literally love the Airbnb business model. And I say Airbnb, but that's just one of the platforms we list on, the short-term rental versus vacation rental business model. I think it's super fun. It's a little stressful at times, but it's really fun to grab a property and turn it into something so cool and unique. Because I don't like doing standard properties. I want to be in like the top 10% of performing properties. So what can we do to take the nightly rate from like 500 a night to 1,000 a night? That's what we're trying to do with this property. So what can we do to draw that attention and be a top performing property? That's cool. And then to supply that experience for people traveling for work or vacation with their families and things like that. The next biggest thing, which I never thought I would be a course creator, right? And sell that to anyone. But after taking so many free calls from strangers and friends I hadn't spoken to since high school or college last year, when I started posting a lot of TikTok content and Instagram, I had a lot of people encourage me, if you just put this into a course, like I would buy it. Like I would take it. And I'm like, okay, like I don't really want to do that. And then my wife was like, you need to do it. So I was like, all right, Jill, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
So Jill. I sat down. Yeah. Right. Jill's the OG. So I sat down and I was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. So I put a lot of time and effort into scripting the whole thing from start to finish and to make it as easily as consumable as possible, like bite-sized chunks through the whole process. So I started selling that and that just blew up. And I had the most encouraging thing I think I've ever had in my life related to real estate is seeing other people tell me that I helped change their lives, which, you know, I didn't really do much other than provide a blueprint, right? They went and did it. But seeing them tell me, hey, I'm cash flowing 10 grand a month. I never thought this was possible 6 months ago. I've had one person cash flow 11 or 12 grand a month on a single property in Asheville, North Carolina. after taking the course and paying for one coaching call. I'm like, this is crazy. I'm like, I should be charging you more. No, I'm kidding. But that's so cool, right? It's so rewarding. It's like, it's not even, the money is great from selling a product that is working for people. But what's more rewarding is having people like leave their jobs and say they're financially free now because they saw a video I did on TikTok and it encouraged them to get going, whether they took the course or not. It's like, that is, it's so cool. It's life-changing. I mean, you know how it is, right? The real estate and the passive income, it can change people's lives. So to be able to be a part of that for someone else is so cool.
Yeah. It's crazy what can snowball. And, you know, like, I think it is one of those things where people want to understand what's going on. And a lot of the information is out there, but packaging it up makes it a lot easier to consume. But like down like the path of content in general, like it can just lead to so many opportunities for creators. But then like, again, there is enough free content that people can get started and do it. It's just like a matter of which type of person are you? You know, are you going to be able to put it all together yourself? Or do you want to kind of get it all in one place or maybe find a mentor or go down that route? Was there anyone, I'm trying to think back on the first episode. I don't know if I specifically asked this question, but was there anyone that served as like a mentor for you at the beginning? I know there's not that much huge, like Airbnb content out there, but like, was there anyone or a couple of people that at the beginning kind of like helped you or talked to you, or were you in that bucket of kind of like organizing it and then like just putting it into action and then, you know, figuring out best practices?
Yeah, honestly, kind of the latter. I searched for content online, you know, and one of the early creators on YouTube was Sean, who does Airbnb Automated. So I found a bit like many of his videos helpful for the most part, just kind of learning like the bones of the operation. He does mostly arbitrage, which I thought was super cool. But there wasn't really a ton of creators at the time, you know, going back 2 years that were talking about Airbnb. A lot now talk about it on TikTok, which I think is awesome. You know, the more people talking about it, the more information that people can gather. But it was honestly our neighbors in Nashville. She worked part-time, I don't know, it was full-time for a property management company that did short-term rentals. So I thought that was interesting and that piqued my interest. And then she put us in touch with a realtor who was the husband of someone who was working part-time at that same company. And the realtor was a new realtor, but he was focusing on vacation rentals as his clientele, and he blew up. And he's one of the top 100 agents in Nashville now after two years in the business, 3 years. So crushing it. Super nice guy. So I learned a little bit from him. And then it was just trial by error at that point. And then just networking with people. Like, I found Mike, saw a video, Mike Riley, our mutual friend, found a video I posted in the early days, like when I had like 5 subscribers on YouTube. I don't know how he found it on LinkedIn. Probably because he was also in the tech world, right, in Nashville. And he hit me up. And so we just grabbed lunch and then he introduced me to you. And it's just like, then the networking process started of like, teach me what you're learning. I'll teach you what I'm learning. And we could all learn, grow together type of thing, you know? From there, it was just kind of trial by error though. It wasn't like a dedicated mentor, although that would have been extremely helpful to have at the time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like different for everyone, what they need to get started. And I'm sure you see it with your students. I see it with mine. You know, some people can run with stuff a lot sooner and faster. Other people, for whatever reason, they just have different levels of, you know, awareness or, you know, like concern with things and holdups. But, you know, what I see typically is the people that can just figure out what they need to get started. Those are the ones that are going to be successful. They could have enough self-awareness to figure, okay, I'm not starting because I have this fear of getting started, or, you know, I don't have properties in my area that produce what these produce. So I need to find that. But like, I'm sure you see it too with your students of like beginners, where they're struggling to figure out like their first step, their kind of roadblocks. So like, is there any process you like to think about with beginners in your programs of what they could do to kind of get that established a little faster, figure out what their first step is, or, you know, how they could overcome some of their like maybe mental demons?
Yeah, I think like as far as like challenging things in someone's mind, the one is just the paralysis analysis. How do you say that? Tell me.
I actually get the same thing mixed. I say both.
Paralysis by analysis. That's it. Anyways, that is probably the biggest inhibitor, like that thing that challenges people the most. And also one of the biggest questions I get asked is, if you were going to invest, you know, what market? Tell me what market is the best one. And my answer has changed over time. When I first started, I was like, here are the top 3 markets that I'm looking at. But now I work with people all over the country and there's so you can make money in almost every market. It's really about finding the right opportunity within a given market, right? And you know that. So that's the first big challenge. The second is, if you're doing especially a buy and hold investment, that is probably by far the most amount of money everyone had even considered investing, right? I never invested more than like 10 grand in the stock market for real estate. And then I go dump 100 grand in my first Airbnb. I'm like, this is crazy. That's nerve wracking as hell. But once you understand the numbers, like, you have to rely on the numbers and strip your emotion out of it. And if your numbers are tight and conservative, then you're good to go. So that's the second thing, is like that mental challenge of getting over, like, is this a risky investment? And for me, there was a saying in a book, Cashflow Quadrant. I think we talked about it on maybe the last podcast. And it was, what's more risky, relying on your safe, secure job the rest of your life, right? Without investing, or investing in real estate per se, or taking some risk when you're younger or even middle-aged and invest in things like an Airbnb property that could literally set you financially free with one or two properties within the next 6 to 12 months. And I was, that was the, you know, flipped it on its head for me. I was like, this is crazy. Like the fear melted away. And it's not going to be like that for everybody, but I think you have to get over that hump.
Yeah. I mean, fear, you know? There's a lot of different like ways or reasons that people can't get started. But like, what I tell people is like, you can always go back to the thing that you're doing. Right. Like, you could always go back to the job. You could always go back to school. But like, if you don't, you're 50 years in the hole for something that like you may not like at all. And like, so what are you really risking? You're not risking a whole lot. Nothing that's too different than like resuming your situation that you were already in. So like, why not get started? So, but like, that's crazy when you think about it, that like you don't strike me as someone that's like a very risky person. You're a calculated person, but still putting 100 grand into the first property, you know, to like get that going, like, dude, that's a lot more than I put into my first. So like, was there anything?
I sold my truck too. I had to sell my truck. I didn't have enough money for the furniture. I sold my truck, my dream truck that I just paid off. And I was like, this is crazy. Sold my truck to have enough cash to pay for furniture. Hopped in like an older CRV, which I hated, but I loved it at the same time, because once that cash flow's coming in, like, I'm like, this is great. I don't care what I drive. Like, as long as that residual income's coming in. But yeah, it's crazy, man.
So it's funny. I've been listening to a lot more Alex Hormozi lately. I just really like his stuff. And like, you'd love it too. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but basically like he talks about this. He's like, I was going all in, and my contingency is like, I always had a plan that I could make at least 6 figures a year. He's like, I would drive Uber during the day, and then I would strip at night if I needed to. And I was like, damn. But he's like, I knew no matter what, if I needed to, I could trade time for money to get myself back on my feet. So he's like, for me, it wasn't really a risk. The risk was doing nothing. True. And I was like, you know what? You can make it work. And like that. Okay. But back to you for like that 100K, what was your like self-talk at the time? Like, we're putting 100 grand into this. Like, we've done a lot of research. We hope it goes well. It has turned out now to blow out the expectations, but like, still, it's a lot of money. Like, was there anything you were, you know, saying yourself or thinking through to like get more comfortable with doing that, especially not having like a mentor or not having like a clear path of, you know, like coaching and stuff?
Yeah. So for me, it was like, okay, I was making good money at my sales job, but I hated it. I hated it. It was like, if I have to sit through one more Monday morning forecast call and talk about numbers that I have honestly no idea if I'm going to hit my forecasts, like, you know, it is in tech, like some things fall through, some things, you know, come in, whatever. So I was like, if I have to sit through another one of these sales meetings, I'm like, this is brutal. From that standpoint, I was like, I have to invest this money, because if I don't, I'm going to be doing this, right? Because the money's good. Why would I leave to do something for less money that I'm still probably not going to enjoy? It's like, I have to invest it. And then I learned more about inflation, especially through the past 18 months with like half the world's US dollars being newly printed. It's like, that changed my mind about money too. I was like, it's literally rotting away in a savings account. But for me, I was more fearful about investing in the stock market. For real estate, for whatever reason, I grasped that better, right? So I was like, I could invest it here, or I could invest it over here, or I could go pay down the loan on my own primary house, or I could go buy a nicer house and go live in it. But then it's like, you have that lifestyle creep, which I know you talk about a lot. It's like, why would I go buy nicer things, more liabilities, when I'm just gonna have to go work harder to pay it off? And I'm like, so that was like the aha moment. I was like, I have to do this. And like you said, I love the way you put it. I could always go back and find another job or continue working the current job. It's like, nothing's gonna change for me, you know, because a year earlier, I had no money or 10 grand, whatever, not 100 grand saved up. And I was still doing the same thing. I was still working. So if things go sideways, you know, I could sell the house, I could do whatever, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So something that we've talked about a little that has come back more and more is the design factor, like the X factor of the property. So we just had a designer on, but she was talking through all the ways that she sets up a property. It's something you seem to know how to do naturally. What was your process of getting good at figuring out design?
Yeah. Honestly, because I had, there's not a design bone in my body. It was, my wife's like, hey, have you heard of Pinterest? I love it. And I'm like, yeah, I've heard of it, but isn't that for chicks and like recipes and stuff? Like, I don't know. I was like, no, isn't that where you like find outfits? And she's like, no, it literally has everything. I love Pinterest now. Like, wow. Literally, as dumbed down as you can get it for our, like our mountain houses, we'll be like, cute, cozy mountain house living room with black and white color or leather, whatever. You type in anything you want and it gives you a lot of cool like ideas. So basically you could take those images and add pin it to your vision board for that property. And we did the same thing for every house. And then we'll go look at other properties to look at what amenities they have, right? In addition to like the location, the proximity in a specific market, but what amenities and do they need outdoor spaces? What type of furniture, et cetera, is attractive to get the highest nightly rate and the highest occupancy rate? So you started to cherry pick all these ideas and kind of put together a vision. And then we'll go on Amazon, Wayfair, and Polly and Bark, and some of these other websites, Crate and Barrel. And literally we'll furnish an entire house on a spreadsheet before we even close on the house. Because we're trying, we want to make sure we're not, it's hard to furnish a house from scratch, especially when you're not even there, but we want to be, it's all about time, right? Time is money with Airbnb. As soon as you're ready to launch, you need to get that puppy up and running. But also you don't want to get halfway through furnishing a house and be like, oh my gosh, I'm already at my budget. Like, oh crap, then you have to sell your truck like I did. So yeah, having, we have like a spreadsheet where we basically punch all that in to automate it, cost per room, cost for the house, add sales tax, boom. And we're usually within like $1,000 or two for the entire house, which is cool. So, but yeah, the design board, start with Pinterest and just kind of cherry pick ideas from like other people's, you know, what they've already put together, and you put together your own vision. It's yeah. Tough at first. It's probably the hardest part of the process for us.
But it seems like it's something you're doing like in a unique way in each property. Like you put up something last night. I don't know exactly what it was, but you were just like, this is going to be sick. But it looked like you guys were physically painting or putting it together yourselves, and then we're going to put it on the wall. So like, I guess maybe a little like just more for the person that's like, I have kind of like you just said, I have no design instincts, but like you're doing that now. But like, how do you, is it really like we're going to replicate something, or is there any part now that you're like, we know this works, we've seen it in other listings, or we just have a hunch that like, this is cool, we like it, we think other people are going to like it?
Yeah. Sometimes it's not just about, I don't want to create what's already out there. So when I say look at other listings, I'm looking for creative ideas on like specific rooms on, or amenities where they're a top performing property, right? You go on Ear DNA, you could look at top performing properties. What makes this special other than that's like a nice house, right? In a good location. And if I could cherry pick an idea from them, like, okay, that's cool. But for me, I want to stand out because there's thousands of listings in big markets. There's hundreds of listings in even small markets for Airbnb. It's all about click rate for me. It's no different than Instagram or TikTok. What's, you're scrolling through hundreds of properties, right? Hundreds of different people's profiles. What's going to catch your attention and what's the hook, right? What's the hook? Because you have one photo and a description to get a click. And once you get that click, you have five photos and the full property description, not just the title. And from there, like those are like you mentioned X factor, like what are the 1 to 3 key moments in your property or more if it's a bigger property that is going to be like, dang, I have to stay there over these other places. Like I need to stay there. And so for us, like the 1 to 3 key moments, for example, we're in this house in Fort Lauderdale. We realized you have to have a pool. You have to have water because it's so hot most of the year. And any outdoor entertainment space, every single top property I found on AirDNA that's doing like 500 grand a year in revenue. They all have amazing outdoor kitchens and outdoor land, like hardscaping. So we're going to transform the backyard in here just to redo the pool surface, the pool deck, and add an outdoor kitchen, some decking, and it's going to photograph incredible. We're going to add lighting, up lighting in the tree. So we are spending more money there. You don't have to just go and do all that, right? You could do a fire pit area, string lights, like anything that photographs well to earn that first click. You have to kind of catch someone's attention. And then you go into like the smaller details, like the bedrooms. What does every hotel and Airbnb in the world pretty much have? They have a decent looking bed, decent side tables with maybe a lamp or a sconce or something. But usually it's the same color all around the room and it doesn't really pop. And most people are like, oh yeah, you're right, but that doesn't really matter. But it does, because if someone's clicking through your listing, if you continue the warm and fuzzy feelings with every photo, they are that much more attached to your property. Like, what are you going to do to capture their like emotional attachment? Like, I have to stay here, right? It's their family vacation. Like, why should they stay there once a year versus somewhere else? So adding wallpaper, like you saw on the thing I posted yesterday, we'll do wallpaper or paint for accent walls, usually behind the headboard of a property. And since this is Florida, we're like, oh, we can make it like kind of like palm trees, like beachy theme. So Jill got these surfboards off Etsy. We just picked up paint samples of four different greens that also match the palm tree wallpaper we put behind the headboard. And we're going to hang these surfboards up. Like, it's almost like a surf shop, on this other wall. And it's going to look super cool. And we have like these rattan, like whatever it's called, like a lamp coming from the ceiling. Mm-hmm. So it's like the room is going to pop. And another room, we're going to do like a black crocodile wallpaper. So it looks like super like sleek and modern. And then we're going to have like gold wall sconces and like something else on another wall. And it's going to just tie in the whole room to where it's going to just, instead of a click through photo, again, for me, it's all about how attention span and like getting people excited about staying there. It's almost like create a luxury experience without spending that much money. Like, wallpaper is cheap. New wall sconces are cheap. So anyways, that's kind of like my thought process on creating that experience for someone, and also photo moments within the house. You know, if someone's going to be, they want to stay there and say, look at me, I'm having an amazing time at John or Mike's Airbnb. It's so cool. Look what I booked. Everyone look at me. Because everyone, we're all guilty of seeking some self-attention on social media. Totally. I mean, that's kind of what it's there for, right? Show our friends and family, like what we're doing with their lives.
Totally.
So it's also a photo moment for them, for their friends to be like, would you stay? I got to stay there. But I'm going to go down a rabbit hole, man, if you keep letting me talk about it.
I got to say this, man. One, it's hilarious to think that 2 years ago you would have said, I have no design ability. But like the way you just described that room, I could have been talking to an interior designer. Like, that's just hilarious. But like, it's kind of a testament to, again, kind of back to that, like what can happen in a short period of time, depending on how you look at it, 1 to 2 years. But like, you've taken action, you've done the work, you've done the research, you've like actually talk to other people that are doing it. And then like through learning yourself, now you have like an expertise in this thing. It's just kind of like, you know, another reminder for people that are struggling or stuck with stuff, that like, if you take action, you will get a lot smarter. Obviously you can take calculated action, but like, you know, I'm sure now you probably talk to this, that there are things you're doing in this property that you weren't thinking about when you did your first stand up. You know, sure. And the next one you're going to make changes. So like, can you maybe talk to that a little bit of what are some of the, like maybe the differences or ways that you're thinking about things more strategically now than when you were on your first property, when you really didn't have like these frameworks that you've built?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think thinking along the lines of, it's hard to decide, you have a budget for furniture or rehab. If you're going to make changes to the property, physical changes, you have to have a calculated investment. Cause for me, it's all about the numbers. I don't want to just have an amazing property and spend 400 grand on doing something so cool or changing the property, whatever, and doing luxury like designer furniture if it's going to decrease my cash on cash return or total return on investment. So that's how I justify the changes we make. I punch it in my thing. If we spend an extra 10 grand on an outdoor space, like if with the fire pit and lighting, whatever, how can that change my nightly rate? And how will that change my occupancy rate? Even if it goes up just like a couple percent in occupancy rate for the year, 5%. And now we're charging, instead of 300 a night, we're able to charge 320 a night on average. When you punch those numbers in, it drastically changes your revenue for a year and your cash flow. And I just made that up the top of my head. But if you were to just see basically how much money I'm going to spend here and how does that affect my return on investment? How hard is my money going to work harder for me if I do this versus just trying to go cheap? That's how I justify the changes that we make.
Hmm. Yeah, totally. I mean, that's what's cool about it. When you get into it, I think at the beginning, some people can be a little like, maybe the paralysis analysis of it is like, there are a lot of things you can tweak, but once you get into it, it's so cool that you can then start figuring out all these little ways to improve and make more money off something you already have. And you can see, okay, this worked, this didn't, we can apply it to the next one. Or, you know, like this type of thing, you know, could be good to look for in all of our properties going forward,
for sure.
You know, like preventative things. So, you know, all that stuff. One question I have, and sort of a selfish question, but I'm always curious, other people who are kind of like in similar situations, is like, How do you think about managing your time or spending your time now? It's something I really struggled with, like at different phases of like financial freedom and like, you know, not having a job or structure. It's always changing, but you know, how do you think about like time management, planning your days, like, you know, goal setting, all that, like at where you're at in the process right now?
So kind of have two parts to that question, answers to that question, because when Jill and I quit our jobs back in April of this year, 2021, we literally got in a camper van and we traveled for 6 months. So we didn't really have that immediate, what do we do with our time? Because we were like hiking every day, national parks. And then we had our down days. We were like, oh my gosh, what do we do with ourselves? But so the past month, since we got to Fort Lauderdale and we just started setting up this property, that was really the first time we didn't really have a schedule. And it is a weird thing to say that sometimes it's like kind of mentally challenging to not have a schedule where you're still making money and you don't have to work really much. So for me, it's like finding this right balance between when to create content, you know, not to burn myself out. So I go through phases of like creating a bunch of videos per week and then do like two a week or one a week. And I'm just like, I don't feel like it. So at the end of the day, I want to enjoy what I'm doing every day. So if I don't feel like making a video, I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. If I do, then I'm going to make a couple, right? You know, it kind of ebbs and flows. But since we have the property that we're setting up now, at least we have stuff to do a little bit each day and some planning, put furniture together and whatnot. But yeah, it is definitely challenging on the time aspect, but I think setting things on a calendar really helps. And I hated a calendar at my job when I had one, but I actually like it now because it's stuff that I want to do. So, you know, I don't know if you do this, but if I were to go like golfing, I would block off on my calendar, like busy or golfing. So I kind of know what I'm doing throughout the day. And I kind of like plan it out. And that way it's easier for me to wake up and be like, okay, I'm going to do this, this, and this. It's just like staying a little bit more organized has been helpful to me, but I know I need to
totally get better at it. You know, but you nailed the thing that it took me a little while to find, and that there's just going to be ebbs and flows. Like it's a little cheesy, but the way I think about it right now is that I'm looking at it almost like life is like, you know, business is like the seasons. You know, there's going to be time now that I'll probably be taking off completely. Then there's going to be times where it's like, okay, we're finding a new property or we're launching a new thing or we're adding more flips to the business. And like, that's just going to be what I'm excited about. But then like taking time away and just not forcing it when it's not what I want to be doing.
Right.
And it sounds like that's kind of what you're doing.
It's the whole point of financial freedom, right? And like you said, do the things that you always wished you could do when you had a job. Like, and you had time constraints. It's like for you, it's golf and whatever, traveling, right? You're in Columbia right now. So that's important to do, right? Don't feel like you have to fill the time with more work because that's just what you're used to doing. Like carve out time for yourself and like go enjoy life, because that's the whole point of financial freedom. It's about time and fulfillment in life, you know?
So. Yeah, totally. Just winding down here, I kind of have a little bit of a curveball question. We've had more people coming into our community that are content creators. Like they're interested. They see the TikTok stuff. They actually have no interest in real estate, but they just like, they want that. Like they want to be a YouTuber or a TikToker. And they're struggling to monetize. And I would say if anyone that I know in content and like branding, just in our conversations, I feel like you've done one of the better, probably best jobs of like brokering brand deals, making money for affiliates, sponsors, and doing paid content. So like, I would love to just hear if you had any advice for a beginner content creator or someone that's maybe even like established, maybe someone's got 30, 40,000 followers and they're like, I'm not making any money. I like doing this, but I don't have business skills. I don't know how to approach brands. Like, what do I do with that? But you know, they're looking for a quick start. So any advice you have for them or kind of like best practices that, you know, you thought about in your content creation monetization journey?
Yeah, for sure. I think picking a niche and staying with it and then getting a little bit broader as you go is important, because people are going to watch and stay in tune to your content because they're interested in whatever video initially attracted them. So for me, it was like Airbnb. I tried doing some other stuff, travel posts, literally got no views. You know, the only video that got a lot of views is when my wife went into Target and she didn't come out for 45 minutes to get a board game. And she came out with like three bags in her hands doing a dance. And I'm like, I'm screwed. Well, what did you just spend at Target, woman? You know, that got like 1.2 million views. And I'm like, okay, so it's either wives of Target posts or real estate and Airbnb. But anyways, back to the answer to the question was find a niche and stick with it. And then sharing free information is amazing, because that's what's going to like keep an audience that like truly like values your content. But don't be afraid to monetize on things that you can take it one step further. I think one of the best things someone could do is creating like a Patreon group or some type of subscription or Discord to where they have direct access to you or into a group, almost like a mastermind group, and they could pay $5 a month, $100 a month, whatever you feel like your time is worth. And you could build a community around it. And those people are, if they find value in it, they're going to tell their friends to come and join, and it can grow. And if it's something you enjoy, then it's just no different than creating content, but instead you're doing it directly on like a live Zoom call or a Discord group. So that's cool. That's one way to do it. Another is for me, which this is kind of cheesy, but I'm making a lot of money selling spreadsheets. But it's mostly around, a lot of people say, I don't know how to distinguish a good property from a bad one. And for me, it's all about the numbers. So I'm like, well, I spent 2 years creating and tweaking like a cash flow calculator, basically an investment analysis template for both rental arbitrage, buy and hold, and all these other tools. So I started listing them because I was giving away for free for a long time. Like, might as well sell them. Someone was like, why aren't you selling this? Like, I would buy it. So I'm like, okay. And it's not like someone can't go create their own, but having it already created and done, it's almost like a software, right? You don't have to go create the software. You just have to go use it. So that's how I view it. And I've been able to sell a lot of spreadsheets that way, just through a link in my bio. And if you're not using like a Linktree or a stand with me, which is what I use, or another platform to kind of integrate, you know, funnels into the links that you have to help increase sales and give more value to people, you need to be doing that. And then you could do the course thing. And this could be from like any type of masterclass, right? If you enjoy baking, if you're like the cupcake guru on TikTok, well, sell the cupcake masterclass for $100 and give someone you'd record it one time and it's passive for the rest of your life, other than promoting it just on your own content. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And then the brand deals, which you mentioned, that was new to me because I had never really thought about affiliate marketing or affiliate partnerships. But basically, for those that don't know, it's you promoting either using your own freedom of creativity, or they give you kind of a script to basically educate your audience. It's like direct to consumer marketing, because more and more money is being dumped to influencer marketing. Because if someone wants to promote a real estate or investing platform or company through me or through you, they know like 90%+ of our audience is really interested in what we have to tell them, right? So if John uses it, and I really truly only promote stuff that I personally use, or at least I like understand and like the product and think people would find value from it. I'm very honest about that. But if I'm using like a company I worked with called Fundrise to invest my money into real estate passively, and other people can do it, like they could pay me to do that. I was like, that is so wild, but that's so cool. Like, so you can start reaching out to companies. Again, it doesn't have to be cupcakes, whatever you do, find things in that industry and just start reaching out through customer service and say, who can I speak to about affiliate marketing or partnerships? Do you do affiliates? A lot of them do. You'd be surprised at who responds saying, oh yeah, we do. Like, sometimes it's just a drop a link in your bio and we'll pay you per sign up or per click. Could be like $20 a click or sign up. There's lots of different ways. I don't want to get too long winded, but it is really exciting. So don't get discouraged if it doesn't happen immediately. As long as you keep providing value and pushing content, more and more like brand deals will come your way, but don't be shy to go out and talk to people. Also talk with other creators who you see doing brand deals. Mm-hmm. That's actually how my first two came about. I saw some people I became friends with that did TikTok content and Instagram. And I was asking them about who they were working with. And then we started swapping content or contacts within those companies, which was super cool. So it's like, it's a cool place to be in. So networking is definitely your best friend.
Totally. That was a great answer. And I'm glad you brought it home with like how collaborative it is, because it is cool. Like, it's so new that there's not that much information out there. So a lot of it is coming from creators or people that are doing it and just swapping strategies, masterminding, brainstorming, hearing what other people are getting paid, and then hear what brands are offering you. Like, it's really interesting to just hear how that kind of goes. And like, again, there's no playbook or rule book with it. And then the networking part of it is just cool that you can make, I don't know about you, I'm sure you have. And like, even us meeting through the internet, we've never met in person, but like, you know, I it's just hilarious that we can become good friends this way and like talk all the time through social media. But like meeting other creators, like, you know, we were talking about this before. I'm in a house right now in Colombia with three other people that I met from TikTok. And like, again, that sounds outrageous, but like, it just, you know, they're cool people. They were doing awesome business and like they had big followings. We were like, you know, why don't we just maybe get a like creator house, like a mastermind house. and do that. So, you know, it's just really cool. But Mike, I mean, we got to do this more, man. I know we were talking about doing some live. I'll hit you back on it. And we got to just, you know, do Instagram and more TikTok live and stuff. What's the best way for people to check you out, check out your courses, check out your education, check out your free content, all that?
Yep. You could just Instagram, TikTok, and now Twitter, actually. I'm on Twitter now.
Oh yeah, that's right.
About 10 years late to Twitter, right? But just M Elefante 6, just how it sounds, how it's spelled with an F, not a PH, and all my info is there. And I'd love to hear from you guys. DM me on Instagram is usually the best way to like get a response. But yeah, appreciate you having me on, John. It's always fun, man. I feel like we can talk for hours, but I know you got to cut it.
I know, man. Good stuff. Great cut. Actually, one last thing. It's always hilarious when people reach out to me sometimes. They're like, oh, like, I love you and Melafonte. I'm like, who's Melafonte? They're like, like Mike? They're like, yeah, yeah. Oh, like, you know him? I'm like, yeah, like, this is hilarious. Melafonte. So many people say that. I'm like, who's that? But yeah, now I know. But anyway, dude, great catching up. Best of luck with the stand-up in Fort Lauderdale. Excited to hang out in Florida when I get down, and keep crushing it, man.
Yeah, likewise. Sounds good, John.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Hey, you millennial millionaire. Are you looking for help getting to the next level in real estate? Are you looking for accountability and strategy to achieve your goals? If so, Jonathan is now taking on one-on-one students and opening a few spots in his private mastermind. It's affordable and welcome to everyone. If you had any questions or think you may need a boost, send Jonathan a message on Facebook or email at johnjfarber@outlook.com.